The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Report, it's September the 3rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news, including a new film that's been produced about the Farm Bill. You can see it online. We'll have an address for you. Then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the subject of livestock and whether a cow-calf operation can stay in business with the high price of feed. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $8.07, up 40 for the day. December futures at 805.5 were up 30. September corn, 336.75, 12.75 higher. December futures at 353.25, up 13.25. And the March contract at 369.25, up 13.25. December futures in the corn pit at 401.25 were 9.75 higher for next year. September soybeans, $8.92.5, up 24.5 today. November's at 907.5, were up 25. And January futures at 922.5, were 24.5 higher. November of next year for the beans at 914.5, were up 21. Bean meal futures at 247.90, up $8.10. September bean oil 65 higher at 37.19. Mercantile exchange numbers, October live cattle 97, 62.5, 72.5 cents higher, and December live cattle at $1.02.5 higher at 101.05. September feeder cattle 118.90, up $1.37.5, and the October futures $1.42.5 higher at 119.05 for the day. October futures at $67.75, and the lean hogs settled 25 cents higher. Outside markets for the day, crude oil trading the October at $75.10 a barrel, up $1.06. The CRB was up 2.31 at 311.07 for the index. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbing 85 points at this hour at 13,443.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Oh, hi, good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, what a day at the Chicago Board of Trade after Labor Day. Decided to push the wheat 40 cents higher and everything else came up with it. The ground war is on.
I guess so. We didn't intend on shots being fired quite yet, but it looked like India fired a few by coming in buying twice what they had said they were tendering for, just took all the tenders up out there that come in for wheat and said that they were in, for maybe 3.5 million metric tons more before the year was over. That, of course, along with the dry weather that continues in Australia and, some of the people saying that if they don't have significant rainfall in the next 20 to 30 days, that could be down to a 10 to 11 million metric ton crop. And that just, all-time highs in Chicago, Paris, Germany, wherever, all the exchanges on that sort of news and panic buying, Todd.
And then if you take a look at it, what do you see in the wheat as far as near-term versus back month at this point?
Well, of course, as we look at it, of course, the September has no limit. It was up 40 cents today, closed within 3 cents of its high. We just basically, we opened 804 to 805.5. There was a few contracts that traded in the D's, but that stayed at locked limit up the rest of the day. And then, of course, when we got to the July, it was up 20 on the close. It was up 26 at one time through the day. So, even the lead or the next year's crop participated quite heavily today, Todd.
July at $6.21 a bushel. That going to make a few folks here in the Midwest think harder about soft red winter wheat?
I would have to say that it most definitely has to, and especially those south of Route 70 where they basically can double crop beans or fairly well assured of double cropping beans makes you think highly about it. I know I had one customer today that said he was probably going to drop his first crop corn and beans and plant all wheat and then try to double crop all beans. But he's down in Kentucky, Todd, but I mean, it's still all acres that are going to wheat in that area. Does look like this should be buying some wheat acres, that's for sure.
Should be buying some wheat acres, but the producers who decide to put wheat in for the first time or just more acres, should they be going ahead and making some sales on new crop wheat, trying to lock something in at this point, whether they're covering themselves cash-wise or some other play?
Oh, I think so, Todd. I mean, basically, the reason you're switching to wheat or a large percentage wheat or more than you've grown in the past is because of the prices we're offering now. And, they might go higher here if Australia doesn't get rain. I think we've got a fairly decent amount of rain scheduled for Argentina to come in, within the next 7 days. So that's going to help the world situation some. But, I mean, Australia is where all eyes are focused. But we still believe that some sort of either put coverage, some cash coverage, and in all honesty, depending on how far north you are, you definitely want some crop insurance because, you know, what if you sell it here, it does go 50 cents higher and it freezes out on you. These are still good prices and still a very good margin that we can still make a lot of money on putting wheat out if we have a decent crop.
Corn gained 12 and three quarters for the day, and the beans were up 24 and a half.
Wow. I'll tell you what. You know, from the corn yields we're picking up down around here, doesn't look like we should have been up today. But, we have seen one very weak place in the yields. That's down around Columbus, Indiana. They're under 100 bushels on corn and down the 20 bushel range on beans and a few fields we heard from a crop adjuster down there. But everybody else that's done some stuff around here has been fairly average yields. Mid-50s to upper 50s in the beans. So far, and as we look at the corn, I think 160 to 190 has probably been hitting the few fields that have been taken out around here at this point in time, Todd.
And I talked to my father this morning. He said the boys started chucking there in Logan County, Illinois, and if there's any indication, they were at 17% moisture. And the number he gave me, it's awfully good farm, but if that number is any indication, Illinois is going to be a whopping big crop. It was really big on the field average. I'm surprised at how large it was, but we'll see how that all plays out. Any final words before I let you go for the day?
Well, technically, we read on three or four different news wires this morning that beans were quite bullish that they closed over 894 and a half. We'd like to point out that was a 907 close. And 48 to 53 and three quarters was the resistance in the Dease corn, and we closed at 53 and a quarter. So, we punched through it real hard in the beans, and we closed right at the top resistance on the corn. So, we do think that there's a little more risk of yield loss in the beans. We've talked that forever, but we think it's going to be a big corn crop, and without the wheat being up like it was today, we don't think the corn would have been this high. So if we're going to be looking at selling anything in the near future, I guess we'd look towards the corn market, Todd.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In today's agricultural news, the national media will be watching Congress this week as the House and Senate go back into session. While the Iraq War will get a lot of attention, there is plenty of other work to tackle as well, including the 2007 Farm Bill. According to information from the National Association of Wheat Growers, Hill Staffers, and commodity groups have been hard at work on language for the 2007 bill during the August recess. However, it is unclear when the Senate Agriculture Committee will take up the measure. Some observers say it could be as early as late September. The House version of the measure passed in July. Nogg points out several other measures Congress will consider in the coming weeks that can impact ag, including the Water Resources Development Act, which passed the House before the recess but still needs attention on the Senate floor. The free trade agreements for Peru, Panama, Colombia, and Korea, and also on the agenda and supported by Nogg, the National Association of Wheat Growers, and other commodity groups. Last week during the Farm Progress Show, Ag Secretary Mike Johanns talked about the importance of getting those four agreements passed. Other measures to watch include issues on rail competition and comprehensive energy bill that includes loan guarantees for the development of cellulosic ethanol. Speaking of the secretary, fearing tightening grain and oilseed carryover levels, the National Grain and Feed Association has urged Ag Secretary Mike Johanns to seriously consider measures to make tillable, non-environmentally sensitive acres enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program more available in 2008. In a letter to Johanns, NGFA said it conservatively estimates the United States will need to plant at least 4 to 5 million additional acres of wheat, corn, and soybeans in the 2008-2009 crop year than were planted this year. That to avert potentially dangerous supply disruptions for U.S. domestic and export customers. While the U.S. appears to have dodged a bullet with respect to corn stocks this crop year, the NGFA said the global stocks-to-use ratio for that commodity is expected to decline from 13.8 to 13.3% in the coming marketing year. USDA also projects that 1.25 billion bushels of additional corn will be required for ethanol production during the 07-08 crop year, with further growth expected in 08 and 09. One other note from the Farm Bill, this one a bit humorous, but maybe not so, depending on how you look at the movie. When the Farm Bill moves to the Senate floor for debate later this year, there will be some diverse opinions at work. A new online film called The Farm Bill Battle takes a humorous look at the debate over who gets funded in the bill. The aim of the producers at Free Range Studios, according to a media release from the company, is to present a serious issue and its solution in a way that's easy to understand and entertaining. The opening sequence of the film has a man in an apple costume asking those person on the street questions about the farm bill. Suddenly, a person in a snack cake costume steals a copy of the bill that the apple was carrying. The apple guy says junk food's running away with the farm bill again, and the chase is on. You can see the film at www.foodbattle.org. That's foodbattle.org. I urge you to take a look at it to decide for yourself how the Farm Bill battle is sizing up in Washington, D.C. USDA has released its latest agricultural trade forecast, adjusting the fiscal year 2007 ag export forecast to a record $79 billion and providing an initial forecast of $83.5 billion for the fiscal year of 2008. U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns made the announcement Friday. The secretary says export gains in 2008 will come from growth and new sales across all agricultural product groups. He says USDA expects a record sales for bulk grains, oilseeds, cotton, and high-value horticultural and livestock products. And on the economics front, the Ag Department recently revised its net farm income estimate for 2007. The new figure, $87.1 billion, is up $20 billion based on the strength of higher livestock and crop prices. However, Farm Bureau says the glass is only half full. Production costs are also escalating. Speaking of those increased input costs, farmers, as you know, have faced higher energy costs and labor costs, as well as increased feed and livestock expenses this year. But according to USDA, input costs have not increased enough to offset a record year for farm income. USDA Chief Ag Economist Keith Collins says the increase in input costs makes the dramatic record number for farm income even more impressive, now estimated at $87.1 billion, primarily due to strong markets in the crop and livestock sectors. Collins says that easily surpasses a record of $85.9 billion set 3 years ago. He says record and near-record years for grain and livestock prices are a big reason for the net farm income forecast.
We've seen near-record corn prices. We've just hit a historic high in wheat futures markets in the Chicago Board of Trade, so we're looking at very strong crop prices. Livestock prices, likewise, has been very strong, particularly milk.
Another factor, Collins says, international demand for ag products has increased. In fact, Collins says U.S. ag exports are booming. He says it's just a remarkable period for American agriculture. That's reflected in USDA's quarterly report on agricultural trade released last Friday.
We revised our fiscal year 2007 export forecast to $79 billion. That's up from what had been $77.5 billion. As we look ahead to fiscal year 2008, we're forecasting another record high of $83.5 billion. This increase is up $4.5 billion from our revised 2007 estimate, and it reflects very tight global markets for major commodities like wheat and corn and soybeans.
And despite the $4.5 billion increase in imports forecast by USDA, Collins says the United States will continue exporting more farm products than it imports from other nations. Finally today, if your farm has suffered losses from a natural disaster, that in 2005, 6, or 7, mark your calendar for the 15th of October. That's the day sign-up starts for the Crop Disaster Program, which is an ad hoc disaster assistance program for farmers with losses in those 3 years. For 2007 losses, the crop subject to payment must have been planted prior to February the 28th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mr. Pounder says for tonight across the two-state region will be mostly clear. Lows will range from 61 in northeastern Indiana to near 67 in the far south. Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny. Highs will range from 84 in northern Illinois to 98 in the southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow, wind speeds 6 to 18 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities will range between 30 and 40%. Dry weather expected through Wednesday. The next chance of rain will come on Thursday or Friday. The raw forecast model numbers suggest northern Illinois will receive up to 2.5 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks, while southern Indiana will be the driest area, with less than a half inch over that same time frame.
This is Les Schulte, WILL's Director of Corporate Support. If you own or manage an agribusiness, you can help in supporting this valuable service on AM 580. To find out more information, give us a call at 217-333-0850.
In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says in Washington, a drop of water is about to become a load of regulation.
Legislation currently in Congress would give the federal government a greater role in local as well as private land use decisions. The Clean Water Restoration Act of 2007 would expand the Clean Water Act jurisdiction to virtually all wet areas in the United States. Don't be fooled by the legislation's title. It may say restoration, but it's not. It is an expansion of the federal government's arm into the majority of landowners' property across the country. If passed, the results would be broad and significant. Since its enactment in 1972, the Clean Water Act has regulated navigable waters, or waters of the United States. The proposed legislation would delete the term navigable and replace it with all intrastate waters, and add confusing language allowing the federal government to regulate activities affecting these waters. The legislation would grant, for the first time ever, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Corps of Engineers jurisdiction over all wet areas within a state, including groundwater, ditches, pipes, streets, municipal storm drains, and gutters. It would grant these same agencies, for the first time ever, authority over all activities affecting those waters, regardless of whether the activity is occurring in water or as a pollutant. With unfounded mandates, this slippery slope takes away power from state and local jurisdictions, shifting the control to the federal government for development and use of local land and water resources. Unfortunately, the legislation is not well defined. This creates an open invitation for the courts to define which activities should be regulated. Normal farming methods, such as plowing, spraying, and fertilizing, would all become a target. And with more than 57 million acres of converted farmland, including cropland, ditches, and farm ponds, agriculture is wearing a big bullseye. This red tape method of governing will be both burdensome and expensive for landowners. Further, the expanded reach would not only preempt traditional state and local government authority, it would alter the balance between federal and state powers. The federal government's reach will literally be in our backyards. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850. Well, up next, a lot has been said this past year about the impact of corn prices on the cost of grain for feedlot operations, but Kansas State professor Jim Mintert says costs are rising for cow-calf producers, too, and he says that's been impacting the potential expansion of the nation's cow herd.
So just using 25% increase in those forage-based costs as a kind of a starting point, you know, it's going to push costs up rather substantially. In fact, looking at our cost estimates and using some Kansas data as a starting point, it looks to us like over the next year or two, break-even cost on calves for kind of an average cost Kansas cow herd could be up in perhaps the 115 to 118 range per hundredweight. And if you look at where we're at with respect to prices, you know, that really changed the picture quite a bit, because coming into this year, we were entering the year with an environment where we'd seen some very positive returns in the cow-calf sector over the last roughly 9 years, including 2007. Kansas Farm Management Association data says that we had extremely positive returns in, I think, 2004 and 2005. Returns dropped off in 2006 and are probably going to drop off again here in 2007 as well, but still positive. Going forward, though, you know, and so in that environment, I normally would expect to see some expansion take place in the cow herd. But with this change in break-even cost, we're going to have break-even cost up pretty close to where prices are at. Looking at 2007, for example, 5 to 6 weight steers in Kansas are probably going to average about $120 a hundred weight, maybe a little bit higher than that for an annual average. Our second half of the year average is going to be a little stronger than that. But the implication is that with this big run-up in cost, we're not likely to see the expansion take place in the cow herd that we thought was likely just a couple of years ago. And, of course, that got held back by drought. The thinking at the start of the year was with a return to some more normal or some more average weather conditions, we would get back on an expansion track. But with this change in break-even cost staring us in the face, if that was not taking place, we would be looking at some expansion taking place in the industry. And instead, we're looking at a situation where I think the herd on January 1 of 2008 will probably be very near what it was on January 1 of 2007. There's even a slight chance it could be fractionally smaller than it was on January 2007. So that's really changed the picture quite a bit.
That's Kansas State professor and livestock economist Jim Mintert. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. The regional newscast comes up right now.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A spokesman for Illinois American Water believes customers will see the need for a 60% hike in water rates in the Champaign-Urbana area. The utility filed the rate hike request with the state late last week, and already the mayors of Champaign and Urbana both say they'll fight it. Illinois American spokesman Barry Suit says the water company needs to pay for a $51 million treatment plant west of Champaign that it says will handle the community's growth for 15 years. Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweihart says Illinois American should have further spread out the cost of that new plant. State lawmakers say it's obvious more than 2,400 Illinois bridges with structural problems need more money for repairs and replacement. But they say it's far from clear when they'll be able to agree to a capital improvement program to provide that cash. An Associated Press analysis of federal transportation data found more than 1,500 Illinois bridges carry worse structural ratings than the Minneapolis bridge that collapsed in July, killing 13 people. Lawmakers haven't been able to agree for several years on a plan to borrow billions of dollars for road and school projects. Some say they're all hopeful that they'll set aside those differences this fall. Others are skeptical that will happen. When University of Illinois trustees meet Thursday, they'll vote on a preliminary operating budget for the current year and a request for money for the next year. The U of I's Associate Vice President for Planning and Development says the university should ask the State Board of Higher Education for another $118 million in funding next year, a nearly 9% increase over this year's budget. He says most of the increase would pay for higher salaries. Indiana lawmakers are skeptical about proposals to abolish property taxes. Republican State Senator Luke Kenley of Noblesville says four states have already considered eliminating property taxes but have found it impossible. Distrust of police is a subject that teenagers in a youth group called Peer Ambassadors want to tackle head-on. This week in Champaign, they'll meet with police representatives in a town hall meeting. Peer Ambassadors is a group of teens and young adults who help counsel their peers. They've had previous problems with the law but also have leadership potential. Their adult supervisor says teens also want to confront the impression that rules aren't being enforced evenly in Champaign and Urbana neighborhoods. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, we had a pretty decent Labor Day weekend, a little warm, actually, on a few days here in Urbana-Champaign, east central Illinois, and I'm told it's going to stay that way for a bit.
Boy, it is. It is going to be quite warm across the region, right on through a good chunk of the rest of this week. Now, changing weather is going to be taking place off to our west and north, which will eventually mean some cooler weather. That's really not going to arrive, though, until the weekend. So we're looking at 90s, or at least upper 80s to mid-90s, in many areas of the Corn Belt and Midwest, through the next 72 hours.
And that'll be good for drying the corn out, especially if there's any wind at all with it.
Little bit of wind. It's going to be kind of a hot pattern with winds not too strong. So we're not going to have too much help from the wind, but we will get helped out by some lower humidities and those hotter temperatures and plenty of sunshine.
Farmers just getting started on corn picking at this point. They'll want to roll for a while if they can. Will they be stopped anytime soon by rainfall?
We could have some problems with thunderstorm and shower activity picking up, especially as we get on into Friday, as early as Thursday night, and then carrying on forward into the weekend. There's going to be a cold front, pretty vigorous one, coming out of west central Canada into the middle of the nation as we get into the weekend and next week. And this is going to lead to the cooler weather and the better chance for showers and thunderstorms. So there's going to be a wet period. We don't think it's going to last too long, but we do see some thunderstorms, maybe some delays due to that, starting Thursday night and heading into the weekend.
We've had recent record high prices for wheat. That means farmers in Kansas and other places around the globe and here in the Midwest will be wanting to put a wheat crop in pretty soon. How are things setting up for the hard red winter wheat out west?
Well, they could use a little bit of rain. They've picked up a little bit here over the last couple of weeks, but they could use more, especially in some portions of Kansas, some of the areas of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And we are also looking at some shower activity that's been recent up in the Dakotas. But it looks like with the cooler fronts coming on in, these cooler trend that we usually see in early September should lead to some better chances in those areas in the next 10 days for some moisture.
Speaking of the sowing season, if you're south of the equator, it's time to put beans in the ground at least. I know they've been rolling in Brazil and parts of other southern American countries. Can they continue to do that, and how's their season setting up?
Well, they can in Brazil. Brazil's weather pattern has been warm and favorable for planting and dry. Argentina's been a little bit more stormy, and that's going to be the trend. At least in Argentina, planting may be delayed a little bit, but the good news for those folks is they will be able to get some needed precipitation. Brazil is a bit on the dry side. They could use some moisture as well as some portions of Argentina. So it's good news they'll be able to get some planting in, but their soil moisture is not in the best shape.
Any place else around the globe we better check in on before I let you go?
I think that'll do her.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the web at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.